Let me welcome everybody. Thank y'all that are here for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online if you're watching online. And welcome again to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. My name is Wade. If it's your first time tuning in, we're glad you're watching. Let me go ahead and open us up in prayer, and we'll just get right into it. If I don't pray right off the bat, sometimes I forget. So I try to do that very first thing. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. Like Josh just said, that we can freely worship you. I pray that you help us not to take that for granted, Lord. And thank you that we have a place to worship you, Lord, that we have a place where we can gather and fellowship and just not have to hide our faith. We just thank you for that. Lord, I just pray that you'll bless this message tonight. I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive it. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this message this week. I know I need it, and I'm sure a lot of other people do too. Father, I just pray that you'd move me aside and just speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord, what you want to be heard tonight. And we just surrender all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, go over what we went over last week. If you were here, we talked about spiritual relapse last week and how most of us, when we first come to Christ and get saved, or we first start coming to church, or, you know, when we're just beginning a relationship with God, that most of the time we're on fire for God and we're eager to learn more about Jesus, and we're eager to get in our Bible and read God's Word. And we look forward to doing our devotions in the morning or in the evening. And, you know, we just look forward to learning all that we can about God. And, you know, for anything like me, you would have had devotion books everywhere. And you can't wait to read your devotion for today. We're excited about our faith. And we want more of it. And we look forward to Sunday morning. And, you know, what's the preacher going to preach on this week? And we talked about how it's easy that once we've been in church a while to get comfortable in our faith. And the longer we're in it, if we're not careful, we'll start to lack our self-discipline. We start reading God's Word less and doing our devotions less and praying less. And then we start coming to church less and getting involved in fellowship and church activities less. And we wind up in a place where we've grown cold in our faith and indifferent to the things of God. And we lose that desire and that excitement that we had in the beginning. And that's how we wind up in spiritual relapse. And we talked about how most of the time we don't finish well because, you know, we don't start well. We don't get rid of everything in the beginning that we're supposed to get rid of. We allow things in our lives to remain that we should have gotten rid of completely when we came to God. But for some reason or another, we leave that door open to those things, and we leave ourselves access to those things just in case this don't work out. And we talked about last week how that usually, you know, that don't just happen overnight. We don't grow cold in our faith overnight. It's usually a slow fade. You know, we start letting things creep back into our lives little by little. And every time we ease up in one area of our faith, you know, whether it's reading God's Word or prayer or doing our devotion, you know, whatever that might be, then little by little, we allow the things of the world to creep back in, and we're not even aware of it. We're not even aware that we're conforming back to the world because it's such a gradual thing. We don't see it happening to ourselves. And like I said last week, the enemy don't care if it takes you, you know, if it takes 20 years, as long as you're going backwards instead of forwards, then we're not doing anything to advance the kingdom of God, and we're not a threat to him. So he don't care how long it takes you to grow cold in your faith, as long as you're not moving forward in it. So it's important for us to, you know, to have that self-discipline and make sure we're not going backwards. Make sure we're moving forward in our faith. One of the verses that we closed with last week is where I want to pick up this week. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." In closing last week, I told you, you know, it's as long as I'm able and allowed to get up here and preach, I'll remind you of those things. We need to be praying. We need to be doing our devotions. We need to be reading God's word. Because, you know, when Jesus does return, you know, I love you guys. I don't want you to be ashamed when he gets here and, you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. So that's where we pretty much closed down last week, was on that verse. And that's where I want to pick up this week. So we can have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming. You know, most people, and I'm including myself in this, you know, we don't go any further than confessing our faith in Christ when we first come to Christ, because we don't have any confidence in ourselves when we first come to Christ, when we first start our spiritual walk. You know, I know I didn't. Well, not in spiritual things anyway. I still saw myself as a sinner and not a saint. You know, it's hard to go from living your whole life one way and then you decide to turn your life over to God. It's hard to see yourself differently. So I remember when I first came to Christ and first started coming to church, you know, I didn't see myself as a saint. I still felt guilty and ashamed before God. I still felt guilty and ashamed when I would come to church. I still felt unworthy. And I believe that a lot of people still feel that same way when they first start coming. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, that verse says, so that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So that's what I want to talk about, is how can I have confidence in my faith? I watched a sermon earlier this week by Levi Lusco, and he was talking about guilt and shame, and that his message wasn't on the whole confidence thing, but he was talking about the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is feeling guilty for something that you've done. You know, we know we did something wrong, and we feel guilty about it. But shame goes way deeper than that. Shame, if we don't deal with it, that becomes part of our identity. That's how we see ourselves. It'll ruin our own self-image. You know, it'll be the way you'll think that's how everybody else sees you too, because that's the way you see yourself. And if we don't deal with shame, we'll always see ourselves as the, you know, the worst thing, or the worst last thing that we've done. Whatever that is, we'll always see ourselves through that light. Or we'll always see ourselves as unworthy, or unloved, or unimportant, or unwanted. You know, like I said a minute ago, that most guilt comes from doing something wrong. You know, I did this, I know I did it, and I know it was wrong, and I feel guilty about it. You know, that's pretty easy to understand. I get that. I can understand that. But most of the shame that we feel, it don't even come from anything that we've done. Most of the shame that we feel comes from the way we think other people see us, or from things that other people have done to us. You know, I'll pick on myself and use myself as an example tonight, because I don't like to pick on anybody else. I can remember the first time I can remember feeling ashamed. It's probably not the first time I was ashamed, but it's the first thing that I can remember. The first time I remember feeling that sense of shame about myself. You know, I was still in elementary school, and I remember we were in the bathroom at school, and one of the kids was making fun of people and saying that they stunk. And, you know, that scared me to death. And because immediately I thought they were thinking about me. You know, kids can be mean when they want to be. And I can remember growing up, at that point, I was going to Swantopolk Elementary School out here. It's not a school anymore, but back then it was. And at that time, we didn't have running water. And some of you might know what that's like to not have running water. You know, we had an outhouse for a bathroom. And we carried our water from a well. So when we took a bath, we just took a bath in a big tub in the middle of the floor. So needless to say, we didn't take a bath every day. And I remember when I was real young like that, I had a problem wetting the bed too. So I remember standing there in that bathroom feeling ashamed. I said, I bet I stink. I hope they don't smell me. And that scared me so bad. I remember running out of that bathroom and staying away from everybody the rest of the day. Everybody except for my best friend, Elmer. I knew he didn't have running water either, so he wouldn't care either way. So I just hung out with Elmer the rest of the day because I knew, you know, he was a safe person to be around. You know, did I do anything wrong to, you know, to be ashamed of myself? No, I didn't do anything wrong, but I still felt shame. I compared myself to all the other kids, and I put myself at the bottom. And I think a lot of us do that to ourselves. And I know that's just a funny story from my childhood, but we do that in our adult lives too. You know, it's been almost 9 years now since my wife left me. And I can be in a crowd and they'll start talking about marriage or something like that. And instantly, you know, I start feeling that shame on myself again. And I'm 50 years old, and that was almost 9 years ago. So we do that not only as kids, but we carry that into our adult life. We put shame on ourselves for things that we had absolutely nothing to do with. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 that we're supposed to be the light of the world. You know, we're supposed to let our light shine so others can see and experience the goodness of God through us. It says in verse 16, to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But if we're living in shame and we don't have any confidence in ourselves or in our faith, you know, we're not going to do that. We're going to do like I did as a little kid running out of that bathroom. We'll be like it says in verse 15 there. And, you know, we'll hide under a bushel. Or in the NLT, it says a basket. But we won't share our faith. We'll hide our faith because we're not confident in our faith. In order to shine our light like Jesus commands us to, we have to have confidence in our faith and be willing to proclaim our faith and know that God is pleased with us. And as long as we're walking around in shame, we won't do that. And in the book of Revelation chapter 12, in verse 9, we'll get to that in a second, but he's called the accuser of the brethren. You know, and that started way back with Adam and Eve. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So he's deceiving the whole world. And he, like I said, he did all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's where shame started. You know, right there in the garden, all of a sudden they went from walking and talking with God in the garden, in the cool of the day, it says in Genesis, to hiding from God, just that fast, feeling ashamed. They didn't even want God to see them, so they hid from him, and they hid from each other. And they were even afraid of God because of their shame. If you want to read about that, that's in Genesis chapter 3, if you want to go read that sometime. But back to Revelations in verse 10, this is where our confidence and our strength and our freedom comes from. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. We have to believe that when we come to Christ, he not only forgives our sins, but he takes away our shame too. You know, we don't have to see ourselves as spiritual failures anymore or unworthy anymore. Pastor Josh, this Sunday, he started a series on the Word. You know, Jesus is the Word of God. But it's also how we overcome our shame and guilt through our own words in the way that we talk. In verse 11 of Revelation 12, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. You know, we have to proclaim our faith in Christ. We have to speak life over ourselves. We have to believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven our sins and cleansed us from unrighteousness. And we have to start seeing ourselves the way that God sees us. He sees us as forgiven. He don't see us as something that we need to be ashamed of. He loves us. He calls us his masterpiece. He says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And, you know, if we live under that umbrella of shame, and that's the way we're going to see ourselves. If that's the way we're thinking about ourselves, that's the way we're going to live our lives. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, for as we think in our hearts, so is he. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So if that's the way you think about yourself and your heart, that's the way you're going to live. You're going to live like you're unworthy. You're going to live like you're just not up to par. So we have to start speaking our faith over ourselves, or we'll never have confidence to do what God is calling us to do as long as we're walking in shame. And we are all called to serve God, but we're not going to. I think that's why we don't see it, any more people than we do stepping forward to serve God, because they don't feel like they're worthy to serve God. They don't feel like they're capable of serving God. But I believe once we come to Christ, God has called us all to serve him. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, to purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. That says that Jesus died to cleanse or purge us from all those things. When we come to him and we trust his sacrifice for us has given us forgiveness of sins and cleansed or purged us from our old conscience of guilt and shame so that we can serve God. And that's why self-discipline in our faith and drawing close to Jesus every day is so important. You know, without that relationship with him, we're always going to see ourselves as carnal, not spiritual. We won't see ourselves as saints. We'll still see ourselves as sinners. And as long as we see ourselves as carnal, then we won't have any confidence spiritually. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we have to believe that the gospel of Christ makes us worthy to serve God. And Paul knew that without the gospel of Christ, the only way he could ever see himself was as the murderer of Christians, because that's what he was before Christ. The only way he could see himself is as a sinner and as an enemy of Christ. And as long as he saw himself like that, he would have never shared Christ with anybody. And we won't either, as long as we see ourselves that way. He knew the only way that he could do what God called him to do was to stay in Christ, to find his identity in Christ. I don't think I have that in my notes, but Galatians 2:20, Paul says, you know, I consider myself crucified with Christ, so that the life that he lives now, he lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. That was the only way he could live without shame, was in Christ. There it is. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And we have to trust that when we come to Christ, that same life is living in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the only way we can live a godly life, is if we believe that God has forgiven us and through Christ we are worthy. And Paul, all through his writings, if you'll read through them, he's always encouraging people. If you're in Christ, you are forgiven. You are adopted by God. You are loved by God. There is no shame. As a matter of fact, in Romans chapter 8, the very first verse, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And, you know, there's no past too bad that God can't clean you up. It don't matter what you've done in the past. If you're in Christ, you have been forgiven and you have been cleansed, like we just read. The last part of that verse right there is key, though. You know, we talk about that almost every week. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, once we come to Christ, we have to start seeing ourselves the way God does. And we have to start living the way God tells us to live. If we live under that shame, we're still going to be doing the same things that make us ashamed of ourselves. And we quote this verse almost every week in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, "We walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, as long as we label ourselves as guilty or unworthy and just walk around in shame, we can't demonstrate the love of God or shine our light. You know, like we just read a minute ago in Matthew a while ago, we won't be producing the fruit of the Spirit that comes from walking in the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, the only thing we can produce is the works of the flesh. And people still walking around in shame can't produce the fruit of the Spirit because they're not living in the Spirit. And that's why our daily discipline is so important. The only thing that we can muster up without the Holy Spirit is the works of the flesh. And if we go on in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21, it gives us a list of all those things that we can do. If you're going down to verse 20, this is what we see so much of, and I'll just hit a couple of these: hostility, quarreling or arguing, jealousy, outburst of anger. You know, we see outburst of anger all the time, and people's like, "I don't know where that came from." You know, it comes from inside ourselves when we're not walking in the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and all that good stuff, but we can't produce that stuff if we're walking around in shame and feeling like we're not right with God. We'll never do that. The only thing we'll be able to muster ourselves is arguing and anger, and we'll just continue to do those things. That's why social media is so hostile, because that's what our sin nature produces, is hostility and jealousy and outburst of anger. You know, you see it on a daily basis, people dealing with those things. And, you know, we get so frustrated at ourselves because we feel guilty or ashamed that we lash out at other people. And when we start to see ourselves as spiritual failures like that, then we start to resent anybody else that we think is doing better than we are. And that's why we have outbursts of anger and selfish ambition and stuff like that. So we have to start seeing ourselves the way God tells us to see ourselves. And when we start doing that, when we start letting our sin nature take control and having those outbursts of anger and arguing and hostility and stuff like that, that makes us feel even worse about ourselves. And then we start lashing out even more. And we just keep getting further and further from the one thing that saves us, and that's God's Word and being surrendered to it. The only way we'll ever have confidence, the only way you can overcome shame, is through Jesus Christ. You know, for 3 weeks now, I've been sharing with you how important it is to have that self-discipline in your faith so that we don't start drifting away from God. The only way you can develop confidence in your faith and in your spiritual life, and ultimately in your own mind and the way you think about yourself, is through obedience. Just like you didn't get to where you are overnight, you know, with all the bad habits and the bad thoughts and stuff, you won't have good habits and good thoughts overnight either. And that's why it's called growing in your faith, you know, maturing in your faith. We have to plant seeds and wait for them to harvest. You know, it takes patience, and that is a fruit of the Spirit too. And that's why that same verse in Galatians 6, in verse 9, that we talk about a lot too, that same verse that lets me know I still have to deal with the consequences of all the bad seeds that I've sown, that same verse gives me hope. You know, it can help me see the faith in the future that's going to come from the seeds that I'm planting today. It can help me have confidence that if I make the right decision, I'm not going to regret it later. I can have confidence that by doing the right thing, I won't be ashamed of what I did later. You know, if we read on in verses 8 and 9, or back up and read 8 and 9, it says, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." You know, we all get that. But if we keep reading, it says, "But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And in verse 9, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So if we're sowing good seeds and walking in the Spirit, then we can have confidence and we can look forward to a good harvest later instead of consequences like we've always dealt with from sowing bad seeds or making bad choices. You know, we never regret or feel ashamed of doing the right thing. You know, we get that sense of pride when we know that we have done the right thing. You know, not a bad pride, of, you know, arrogance or something like that. But it makes us feel good to know that we did what God asked us to do and that we were obedient. And that's how you start building your faith, and that's how you get rid of shame. Just know that you're being obedient to God and you're doing what he told you to do, then you won't have shame. You know, we've been reading this verse for the last couple of weeks too, in Matthew 24, verse 46. It says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." You know, as long as you're being obedient, you're not going to be ashamed of that. And you'll have confidence knowing you've done what God asked you to do. And the more you're obedient, the easier it is to be obedient. I think Josh said Sunday it takes like, I think he said 21 days to form a new habit. And if you're new to your faith, or if you're just not going anywhere in your faith, you got to be intentional about being obedient. You know, it don't come naturally. That is, when you first come to Christ, it goes against everything in your nature to be obedient to what God's word says, because our whole lives we've been doing it our way, what I think is right. The only thing that comes to us naturally is our old sin nature that we're born with. But the more you are intentional, you know, about reading your Bible or making church a priority, that I'm going to church instead of a choice, you know, I might go or I might not go. When we set our minds firm, you know, this is a commitment I'm making, this is what I'm going to do, then it's no longer a choice. You know, we have to be that intentional about it. As long as we give ourselves a choice, like we've been talking about the last few weeks, eventually we'll give into our old nature. But if we are intentional about being obedient, eventually that will become a habit. And then eventually it'll become a lifestyle. And it'll just get easier and easier as you go. It starts becoming who you are and not just what you do. Then that shame just starts going away. And you'll get to the point where you don't struggle with decisions about right and wrong anymore, because you've already made that choice that God's word says no. So anything else is out. I'm going to be obedient to his word and not not debate it anymore. It becomes our lifestyle. It becomes who we are. And then we're not ashamed of who we are anymore because we know we're living the way God tells us to. And the more you grow in your faith, the more the Holy Spirit will guide you. Then you'll have the confidence to say, I am a child of God. And you'll actually believe that about yourself. You'll start seeing yourself as a saint and not a sinner. You'll start believing, you know, that I am redeemed, like God's word says we are. But like we said a while ago, if you want to end well, you have to be intentional in starting well. You got to be intentional in removing the things in your life that don't allow you to be obedient. You know, we can't allow things in our life that keep us from doing what God asked us to do. We see that in Hebrews 12 in verse 1. It says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I think a lot of times we're trying really hard and we're, you know, we want to get our relationship with God where it's supposed to be, but we still leave all that stuff in our path and we just keep tripping over the same things because we won't get them out of our way. And that's what it's saying there in verse 1. It says, lay that stuff aside, that stuff that so easily besets us. You know, I tell you every week, we're all different. You know, for me, this might not bother me, but it might be a stumbling block for you. So we have to take a good look at our own lives. And if something's keeping me from doing what I need to be doing, I need to get it out of my way so I can do what I'm doing. If we go on in verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. You know, Jesus hates shame. That's why he went to the cross. He took our shame for us and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love that part of it. It's over. He said from the cross, it is finished. You know, he already paid for that. Once you're in Christ, you don't have to have shame anymore. You know, you can't earn your salvation. That is a gift from God. You know, the Bible is very clear about that. But you'll never have confidence in your faith without being obedient. You can know you're saved and still feel guilty over things that you've already been forgiven for. You can know you're saved and still walk around with that feeling of shame. But the more that we are intentional and the more that we're obedient to God, the less and less and less of that you'll feel. And you will start, you know, your conscience will start easing up on you. In Romans 2, verse 15, he's talking about our conscience here. It says, they demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them that they're doing right. So just do your best every day to be obedient to God and do what you should be doing and make it a point not to do the things that you know you shouldn't be doing. And then over time, your conscience will stop condemning you. You know, you've given in to that stuff for so long, your conscience likes beating you up. We like beating ourselves up. And like we just read in Revelation there a while ago, Satan is accusing you before the throne of God day and night, and other people doing things to you make you feel bad about yourself. We have to believe what God's word says is true about us. James says in chapter 4 and verse 7 that all we have to do is submit ourselves to God first. A lot of people, They leave that first part out. They just say, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But if you'll submit yourself to God first and be seeking God and put up a fight against, you know, what the enemy is saying about you and make sure that you're being intentional and being obedient, then the devil will flee from you and you'll stop feeling all that shame on your shoulders all the time. The last thing I want to share with you, or one of the last things I want to share with you tonight, is don't beat yourself up. You know, I used to beat myself up all the time when I first came to Christ. I never could do good enough to please myself. I always saw myself as a failure. You know, like we said earlier, most shame comes from ourselves and the way we see ourselves. So we've got to stop listening to our own insults, the things that we say to ourselves, and start speaking life. And we've got to quit listening to insults from other people and the mean and hurtful things that they say. We got to believe that God loves you and He loves me. You know, He don't want us going around ashamed of ourselves. Just do your best. God knows what you're capable of. He don't expect you to do any better than you can do. And He don't want you to set unrealistic expectations on yourself either. I love this in Psalms 103, verses 11 through 14. It says, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." We got to believe that. We got to believe that we're no longer in our sin. We're no longer sinners in God's eyes. When we come to Him, He sees the blood of Christ. He sees us washed white as snow, the Bible says. In verse 13, it says, "Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." God created us. You know, He knows what we're capable of. And He knows what we're not capable of. He's not going to ask any more from us than we can give Him. So we got to quit beating ourselves up. I did that so much. And a lot of it was just the way I saw myself. So we got to quit seeing ourselves like that. And we got to quit beating ourselves up and being ashamed of ourselves. We got to have confidence in God, not ourselves. You know, we have to have confidence that God says I'm this, that God says I'm that, instead of what we think about ourselves. We have to trust God. That's what faith is, our trust in God. And the more we're obedient to Him, the more we know that He's pleased with us. So just do your best to be obedient to God, and you'll develop confidence, not so much in yourself, but you'll develop confidence of, you know, you'll start accepting that, hey, I am in a right relationship with God. And you'll start seeing yourself as being accepted by God because you are in a right relationship with Him. And once you start seeing yourself that way, that shame will go away and you'll realize I can serve God because He loves me. And you'll want to serve God because you love Him too. That's another thing that happens once you realize God loves you and God accepts you and God approves of you. That shame just goes away and you become proud of being a child of God and you want to serve God. And there's a huge amount of freedom knowing that you did the right thing. And we can have confidence in knowing that you're doing your best to follow Jesus and you won't be ashamed of Him when He comes back, or ashamed in front of Him when He comes back. You know, God says the two greatest commandments is to love Him and to love each other. And as long as we're doing that, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Just do your best to love God and be obedient to Him, and do your best to love one another. That's all God asks of us. And then like we read earlier in 1 John 2:28, we'll have confidence in knowing that our relationship with Him is where it should be, and we won't be ashamed before Him when He does come. You know, if you're ever doubting your love for God, you know, just read John 3:16. You know, God so loved the whole world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If God didn't love us, you know, the cross wouldn't exist. He would have just started over. He didn't come and die on the cross for us to walk around in shame. He went to the cross so we could be brought to life, so we could serve Him, so we could be the light of the world and share His gospel and lead others to Him. But as long as we're feeling shameful, we won't have the confidence to do that. And one of my favorite verses, and I'll close with this one, is Romans 5:8. It says, God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, you don't have to try to make yourself out to be something that you're not. God knows every one of us, everything about us. He knows what we were. But we've got to trust God. That is what we were. That's not what we are anymore. Like I said, I had a really hard time seeing myself as a saint for a long time. I would still see myself as a sinner, but that's not what I am. I don't do that stuff anymore. So I shouldn't think of myself like that anymore. I am what God says I am. I am a saint through Christ. And I am able to serve him through Christ. And I am able to love God and love other people through Christ. So I don't do anything anymore to be ashamed of. So I have finally got to the point where I'm not ashamed of myself anymore. I'm not ashamed of what I've done in the past anymore, because I know God is, like we just read in Psalm 103, he's removed that as far as the east is from the west. That's not hanging over my head anymore. That's not my label anymore. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people in my past that still think of me the same way because they haven't seen me since. And that's okay for them to think like that, because they're right. That is who I was. But there's also people in my present that know the new me, that know who I am today. And they know I can walk around and not be ashamed of myself, because that's not who I am anymore. And if you're in Christ, that's not who you are anymore. So I hope that helps somebody. If you're walking around feeling unworthy or guilty, you know, that's not the way God intended it. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation, and the old things have passed away. And we got to start believing that, and we got to start living like that, so we can be the light that God has called us to be, and share the gospel. But that's all I've got for tonight. I thank y'all again for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. And I really hope that helps somebody. You know, if you really think about it, you don't have a thing to be ashamed of. Every day is a new day. But get up every day committed. I'm not going to do anything today that I'll be ashamed of tonight. And every action starts as a thought in your head. And, you know, we read it all the time. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. If you have a bad thought, immediately take that thought to Christ and bring it into obedience, and you won't act on it. You can nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife says. You don't have to do anything today that you're going to regret tonight. So you don't have to have shame. There it is. When you have a bad thought, or an imagination, that's what they call it, it says, cast down that thought and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity. You don't have to dwell on it. You don't have to let it have its way. It don't have to become an action. Bring it to Christ, and bring it to the obedience of Christ, and say, not today, Satan. I'm not going to do that, because I'm not going to go to bed ashamed. I am a child of God, and I'm going to live like it. And if you'll do that, it will change your life. It changed mine. But I hope that helps somebody. I thank you all for tuning in, and thank you all for coming out. Let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you again for giving me the courage to get up here and preach. I thank you for the message that you gave me, Lord, and I know I needed that in my life. It's good to know, Lord, that you are pleased with us in Christ. And I just pray, Lord, that would just help us all to strive even more every day to stay in Christ, so that we can have that confidence and we can walk in the Spirit, Lord. Lord, thank you for loving us. And thank you, Lord, for just making us a way that we can love you back. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.